All right, so back to whatever the fuck we were talking about.
Talking death. We were going to talk about the Republicans' failed impeachment of Department of Homeland Security Secretary.
Yeah, so
definitely not what we were talking about.
Well, we were about to. I had like a pretty good transition going about Republican failures.
Sorry.
No, you took us on a wonderful side tangent on a journey through my, absurd reflections on all the failings of the Republican Party to get off the Trump train while they had the opportunity. It's crazy. Dude lost 2016 by 3 million votes. And they were like, it's a national mandate. Like, what the fuck? It's insanity. And then they've been losing ever since. But I mean, kudos to these guys for being dedicated to their partner. I want someone to love who be as devoted to me as these fucking morons are devoted to Trump. Anyway, so yeah, Republicans also failed to impeach the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security today, largely because they can't do math. So the vote on the House floor to impeach Mayorkas over, I actually don't even know what the grounds for impeaching him are, I guess, because he's not doing a good enough job with the border, which is insane because there was a bill that was right there for Republicans to vote on, but they'd rather impeach Mayorkas than vote I don't know. Just, make it make sense. Make it make sense. So I think the House vote.
So I tried to make it make sense with the drink like I'm trying to do now, but it makes too much sense to tie.
Fair enough. So
House vote.
The vote on the floor was stuck at, I believe, 215 to 215 for quite a while. Well, they scheduled the vote to impeach Mayorkas while one of the House Democrats was supposed to be having a medical procedure done. And when he discovered the procedure, discovered that the vote was taking place, he raced back to the House to cast his vote. Marjorie Taylor Greene was quite displeased with this. She was basically saying like the reason why they couldn't get the impeachment of Mayorkas to pass in the House is because the Democrats were hiding one of their members. Like, you don't know how many fucking members of Congress there are. Like, really, this is your way of telling people you don't know how to count. Yeah, it's incredible. But the final vote ended up being, I think, 214 for impeachment and 216 against, thereby tanking the thing. Like, good luck, guys. Total incompetence. You've missed out on a border bill. You failed to impeach the Department of Homeland Security Secretary. At this point, Ronna McDaniel, in case you missed it, breaking news. She done lost her job. She's no longer the RNC chair.
Whoop-de-doo. Would you think her last name will take her back?
It's really good. I don't know if her and Uncle Mitt are on good terms. From what I've heard,
he doesn't own her name.
Fair enough. I'm just, I don't know if the Romney crew kicks it with her like that. I heard her and Mitt ain't even on speaking terms no more.
I mean, I would imagine so. I wouldn't want to talk to her or him.
Well, if you're wondering why Ronna McDaniel ain't got no job no more, it's largely because she's fucking terrible at the job. Like, the RNC is broke.
The head of the leopard face eating party.
they really should change their name, huh? It'd definitely be more fitting.
They could change the name, but not the spots. I'm raising my eyebrows suggestively.
You're killing today, Carol. No, so the RNC is currently broke at this point. So going into 2024, They had $8 million cash on hand, which is like, you know, adjusted for inflation, the lowest number, like the lowest, least amount of money the RNC has had going into an election year, I think in like 40 years or something crazy like that. That's fucking bananas. So, you know, terrible at a job, terrible at raising money. The RNC is broke and Trump ain't happy with her performance and told her she was probably going to have to get, like, he basically said, you know, they might have to make a change, the head of the RNC. And then I think he got on like Newsmax and told them like, she got to fucking go. So she announced she was stepping down today. I mean, I guess as you're hearing this, it'll be Wednesday. This is currently Tuesday as we're recording this. So Tuesday night, she made that announcement. Remember, Carol, how, like, I don't know if you do remember this, but remember how the media would always be like, Dems in disarray. Where are these stories about the Republican Party?
Well, it's not a clever alliteration. What are you going to say about that? Republicans in ruin. I guess they could do that.
I mean, you did it. Congratulations. Right. You like,
yeah, well, that. I mean, I can't expect the average journalist to be as clever as I am.
I mean, you don't look, you don't.
I'm just kidding. I do expect that, but I've been disappointed so many times.
Endlessly disappointed with the media. Yeah. So she's
not about their lack of wit, by the way.
She's out. Trump's going to replace her with some crony. But part of the reason why the RNC isn't raising any money, it's not, I don't want to.
Not the scapegoat's fault.
So while, yes, Ronna McDaniel, Ronna Romney's terrible at her fucking job and probably deserves to be fired. Like, she's not totally responsible for this calamity. Part of the thing is, I mean, I guess you can go back 6 years now that the RNC discovered, you know, when they do these, send out these fucking fundraising emails to the small donors and whatnot. Like, if Trump's name is in it, they raise a ton of money. And if his name's not in it, they raise no money. And then Trump's got this deal where they can't use his, you know, name or his likeness in their fundraising emails without his direct consent. So, you know, Trump clearly understands consent, at least in this one instance.
Yeah.
When it comes to violating him, he's totally aware of, like, the importance of giving your consent.
Well, look, everything revolves around him. So why would he or anyone else consider a perspective that didn't involve him? You see?
Totally fair point. I see how you did the math on that. That math.
Yeah, that's a totally fair point for a fucking narcissist, right? Like,
yeah. So Trump is partially responsible for killing off the RNC's fundraising prowess.
And the hundreds of thousands of Americans you mentioned earlier. But that's more than partial.
That was so good. Pat yourself on the back for that one, Carol. Yeah. So he's largely responsible for killing off the fundraising prowess of the RNC while also blaming the person that he handpicked to put in charge of the thing, even though, like, they would raise a lot more money if he allowed them to. And he just, it's a vicious cycle of stupidity. Anyway, I'm not rooting for the RNC. Just wanted to point out how insane that was. And, you know, given how little money they have on hand in comparison to Biden and left-leaning PACs in the DNC, who currently have somewhere close to, you know, $115-120 million cash on hand. That's a massive fucking difference. And you're actually going to notice the disparity around, you know, when do ads pick up? In August, September, October, 3 months before the 2024 election, you're going to notice the discrepancy in the amount of funds between the Republicans and the Democrats. It just, you know, save this episode of the podcast.
If they had any shame, they'd be embarrassed. That sort of thing.
Something like that. But yeah, it's going to make a huge difference. Probably not just in the presidential race. I mean, again, like, just having Trump's name on the ballot to some degree guarantees that his base will turn out. But look, you might not even have Trump's name on the ballot, but that's a story for the next episode of the podcast, because the Supreme Court is going to be hearing oral arguments on Colorado's removal of Trump from the ballot based on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Anyway, this whole money thing, it's going to spell doom for down ballot candidacies, right? Because they're not going to have money to put towards house races, or if they take the money and like try and, you know, maintain control of the house, they're not going to have enough money to fund these fucking Senate candidates. So then like in a year where they'd have an unbelievable opportunity to win back control of the Senate, they're going to have to choose the House or the Senate, which one they want to spend a significant amount of their money pushing towards winning. It's just crazy. And then, like, not only is Trump soaking up all the donations, he's spending all the fucking money on his legal bills. Carol, did you see that article last week about his financial disclosures from the campaign and saying that he spent upwards of $60 million on legal fees from his PACs? Well, $60 million from his PACs on legal fees in 2023 alone.
Does not surprise me at all.
You say that, but if you think about it just for a second, $60 million fucking dollars on lawyers is a lot of money.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, I guess that isn't considering all of the legal damages that he owes on top of the legal fees. But no, he's been having like constant representation in several jurisdictions on several different criminal matters. And there's probably a bunch of them that he knows are pending investigation that we don't know about. So I'm trying to think of like how much could Alina Haba possibly charge?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. All right. Like the quality of his lawyers is not necessarily that.
So is he actually paying them that much or is that fraud too?
All right. So I think if you zoom out for a second and think about all the criminal and civil cases he's been involved in, and all like the pretrial motions and all of that and like discovery and whatnot, between the DC case, the Georgia case, the Florida case, the New York civil fraud case, the New York Trump Organization criminal fraud case, also the New York, well, and like, we don't even talk about this no more, but like, remember who was the first person to indict Donald Trump? You remember that? This is a fun game. It's like,
was it Tish? No.
No. Tish. Keep going. Keep trying. Good. Try it again.
Alvin Bragg.
Yes, that is correct. Hey, you didn't give me any smooches. Not you, Ty, your boyfriend. Yeah, so Alvin Bragg was the first to indict. And basically over the hush money case. I mean, really, in this, it's really an election interference case, right? Because Trump was basically using Trump or to launder some hush money to keep some embarrassing information from going public. Also, he could try and win the 2016 election, election fraud at that point. But yeah, just like even the money he spent on that, if you just like, all right, that's what, 7-8 cases. Even if he's spending, you know, $4-6 million per case, we'll just say at the extreme, you know, $6 million. That's like $40 million. Where did the other $20 million go? I mean, I guess maybe he's paying for the legal representation of his co-conspirators.
And the witnesses.
And his other past illegals? Sorry. What'd you say, Ty?
Oh, no, I was saying like maybe the witnesses too, like witnesses. I'll put that in quotation marks.
Yeah,
like,
co-conspirators.
Yes.
So, yeah, right. Like the Waltonadas of the world. The Cassidy Hutchinsons, he was covering her legal fees for a minute. He also spent quite a bit of money. I think this just came out. His PAC also spent quite a bit of money on legal representation for Ivanka. So, yeah, aren't you excited, MAGA, to see where your fucking donations or hard-earned dollars that you're donating to help Trump win the 2024 election or going to his crack?
Did I keep my closing thoughts, D, or did I fall asleep?
You fell asleep, but we didn't get that far yet. So,
okay.
But we're almost there. We're so close. I'm glad you're back with us. And not like you died and came back to life, but just, you know, that you woke up. Carol, what was that? Where else were we at?
I just have ties closing.
Like, if you could stay up long enough, we'll get there.
Standalone bill for the Israeli.
So, yeah. Just continuing in the long line of Republican failures here this week. Mike Johnson's attempt to get wiggle his way out of voting for the bill to.
Ooh.
Yeah, the border security bill that also funded Ukraine, but that also sent millions of dollars to Israel and Gaza. His way of trying to get out of voting for that bill was to bring a standalone bill to the House floor that would send $17+ billion to Israel. That thing imploded. So I think it was like 260 something nays, something insane number where you're like, damn, why did you even do this? Like, Nancy Pelosi tricked these people, had them thinking like this shit with these tiny margins in the House was easy. And no, she's just fucking incredible. But yeah, so that gambit failed. The impeachment of Mayorkas failed. And also that, you know, they failed to even bring the border bill to, like, just failure.
Failure.
Yeah. That's the Republican Party for you. And I think the one thing I really wanted to talk about, or at least to just make note of, is over the course of this weekend, the Democratic Party held their South Carolina primary and Joe Biden whooped everybody's ass by a whole lot. You know, and the media took the opportunity to paint it as some kind of like lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden, even though Biden beat his competitors by 94 points.
But I already got 96% of the vote.
But not only that, but he did it across multiple demographics. On the white vote and the black vote.
Well, that's the thing, Ty. If you're going to win 90%, 90 plus percent of the vote, you won every demographic. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, if you're going to get 90 plus percent in any kind of primary, you're winning damn near everyone of every race, creed, color, religion, status in life. And like the media tried to paint it as like some kind of lack of enthusiasm because like the number of, like, you know, 10% of the voters showed up to actually vote. But like when Iowa ran their fucking caucuses and only, you know, a handful of people showed up, they were like complete and total dominance by Donald Trump winning 56% to 46% over Nikki Haley. But then,
oh wait, let's not forget that Biden wasn't even on the ballot in New Hampshire and he beat
their asses.
Now, was he not on the ballot?
So
it was go ahead,
New Hampshire. Please. Yeah. So what had happened was
he forgot to file. No, I'm just kidding.
No. So
oops.
Biden lobbied the DNC to change the order of the primaries, asking them to put South Carolina first so there could be a more diverse electorate, be the first state to officially participate in the Democratic primary process. But New Hampshire was like, bitch, we still going first. This is how we kick around here. We always go first. We're going to go first this time. So those delegates from New Hampshire, they don't actually count towards the total that goes to selecting the nominee, but they held the primary anyway. But, you know, Biden, respecting the process, was like, all right, cool. Well, I ain't going to put my name on the ballot. Dean Phillips decided otherwise. And Dean Phillips still lost by 60-something percent of the vote. And Biden won
By write-in, so he was written in by all.
Yeah, he won 77% of the vote.
People are lazy.
Exactly. Being the only person on the ballot. How much fucking fuck.
It's incredible. And like, and but the thing is, like, the media didn't even talk about it. I'm like, this is just, it drives me fucking insane. Like, I had, like, you know, despite what my Twitter picture looks like, I have hair, but not for long because they make me want to pull it out every fucking day. All right. So, time for our, you know, patented shithole of the week award. Sorry we missed out on last week. I feel like it probably would have been, you know, Texas Governor Greg Abbott for attempting to start a civil war over the border, even though Republicans in Congress ain't willing to pass no fucking border legislation. You know, this week it's been pretty tough. If you haven't noticed, there's been a lot of shit fuckery by the right, just endless amounts of shit fuckery. But I feel like I personally have to nominate Tucker Carlson for his trip to Russia in the middle of, you know, basically Putin committing war crimes, to sit down and kick it with Putin and, you know, shoot the shit and break some bread. It's absolutely fucking asinine. And I think someone on Twitter, I can't believe this tweet actually even took off. Like, this was rather, this was like an aside. So there's this tweet from Matt Couch the other day. Well, first of all, he posted a picture of Barbara Walters interviewing Vladimir Putin. And if you just think about that, like, clearly that was from an eternity ago. And he captioned it with the word strange. They had no problem when Barbara Walters interviewed Vladimir Putin. Is she a traitor too? You ginormous asshats. And just as an aside, because I was like, because I, you know, I don't remember exactly when this happened, but like, I remember when she went over there, because it was kind of a big deal even then, even though I was like, you know, 18 maybe. So I was like, bro, that was 23 years ago. Putin had been president for like 2 years, because I think, you know, he took office in like 99 or something like that. It's like interviewing Hitler in 1933. Tucker going to hang out with Putin this week is like vacationing with Hitler in the middle of the Holocaust, you know, because he's over there killing as many. Yeah. Yes. So on that note, I hereby nominate Tucker Carlson for the shithole of the week award. If I may have unanimous
consent. Seconded.
Yeah. Tucker's a fucking Nazi. Nazi propagandist at this point. Like, they talk about, like, oh, you know, like the Russian collusion thing was a hoax. And then they do everything they can to suck Putin off. It's fucking bananas. I'm going to assume, Ty, you're too drunk to give your consent here. I'm violating. It. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, don't make me violate you without your consent. Yeah. Tucker Carlson, you're hereby awarded the shithole of the week award. Congratulations. Cause you know, it was a crowded field. We just didn't have time to get to everybody. Who wants to do the tie? You ready for your closing thoughts? Did you ask something?
I am ready for my closing thoughts.
All right, hold on, Carol. This is your opportunity to prepare your closing thoughts.
Yes, of course.
While Ty is delivering hers. Ty, go.
I want to say just the convoy, the convoy. COVID-ians.
Oh, the convoy.
It was a reiteration of why education is so fucking important in this country. And we saw Ted Nugent, we saw Sarah Palin, Ted Cruz, fucking Dr. Phil made an appearance. We saw everybody, but the actual fucking caravan that they were there to be there for. But I am so tired. I am so tired of just the bullshit, the misinformation, and everything that goes along with it. When there are real people in this country that are hurting every fucking day, like, there are real people that are struggling, that are here, who are doing everything and anything they can to survive. And they're being dismissed, displaced, ignored, dismissed. And it just gets to me in ways that I can't even imagine. And we need to do better. We have to stop this. We have to stop where we are in this place of not listening to each other, not wanting to be or do better. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me on so many levels. Why? Why so many are so content or so okay with just not doing the right thing, with not supporting the people who support their interests, who support what they need, what they desire about being about for so long. I don't know what it takes or what it will take for us to get to that place. But getting to a place of accepting, acknowledging, and recognizing your own failures. Like, you know what? I will. If you still continue to be in that place, but there's nothing wrong with like realizing and acknowledging that, okay, yeah, you know what? I voted for that fucker, but I was wrong. I want better. I want better. I want to do better. I want to be better. I need to see that from people. I need to see that kind of humility, that kind of self-acknowledgement, because this shit hurts me like in my soul, like in ways you can't even fucking imagine. Like I can't even make sense of it. I can't make sense of it. Like,
well, would you like me to relay to you some information that'll make you feel better? Slightly better?
Yes. I'll take it.
Okay. So the whole purpose of the Klan Void going down to Texas in the first place was to join Texas Governor Greg Abbott in starting some kind of skirmish with the Border Patrol as they attempted to remove the barbed wire that Abbott placed at the border, even though like it really wasn't, it wasn't solving the it wasn't actually solving the problem. It was just like killing a handful of innocent women and children for absolutely no reason whatsoever. So they went down there to start a skirmish with the Border Patrol and like stop all the fucking immigrants, the immigrant caravan, the migrant army, the invasion or whatnot, all the shit they've been fed. And they got down there and they couldn't find no fucking immigrants. And they was like, this is fucking crazy. And they ended up fighting themselves. They got their fucking civil war. Feel better now?
Are you saying the immigrants wanted to stay away from them?
What I'm saying is like the state of affairs at the border was drastically overblown. And once they discovered that, they felt duped. And a lot of them weren't happy and they took it out on each other. And it was great. It was fantastic
it's
watch.
Fitting. It's fitting.
Yeah.
It was nice to watch. I'm not going to lie. Like it was, it gave me life.
Yes. Watching morons beat each other is a fantastic sport. It's a beautiful endeavor. Like they should put that on TV this weekend. I'd probably watch it over the Super Bowl. All right, Carol, closing thoughts. Go. Please pull your shirt back down and do whatever that thing was you
were scratching my shoulder.
No, you got it all. Like,
yeah,
a little more.
Yeah, like, anyway, more. I'm sorry. All right, off tangent. Carol, closing thoughts. Go.
Closing thoughts. I guess things are heating up. I've been trying to ignore the world and just do my own thing for a while, which, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but, this is the same as my, it's the same thing. Closing thoughts I have every week, brain. try and get people to vote.
It's pinky and the brain.
get out and do what you can. There's no simple solution for Ty's existential problem, but we can still encourage. Ty, you registered to register people to vote, right?
I did with Beto's Power by People.
Oh, congratulations.
Do something like that. Part. My thing is just I'm gonna make Ty do my closing thoughts. No, sign up, get involved. I maybe I'll even come back to Twitter and look for that election year bump that someone just told me about. I'm just kidding. I don't want to do that.
Okay. Like that's a side tangent again, like inside thing. Is that
not a good strong finisher, a side tangent?
Sure, I guess. But yeah.
Closing thoughts, next time I tell you I'm not prepared, you should believe
it's not the election year bump. No one's getting pregnant from the election. It's just that like, really? I don't know. Maybe, you know, depending on how bad Republicans fuck this up, I guess you could get pregnant from that. I don't know. But no, just like the people on the social media. So again, like, and this is not a brag. It's not what I was doing. I was just, anyway. So I've gotten like, you know, 10,000 new followers or something on Twix over the course of the past month, even though I really haven't been trying. And what that is just, it's symbolic of people's hunger for content at this point in time, given that it's an election year. So if you're like, hey, you know, how do I build up, a good base of followers and support on the social medias? I mean, you get out there and post about this shit during the election year, and you do a reasonably decent job at it. Cause I don't want to like overly pat myself on the, I don't want to suck myself off here. Like I'm not trying to make no Drake leak videos or anything like that.
He's accepting volunteers. Oh no, not the last.
Yeah,
part.
If you just like do a reasonably decent job of like just posting about some novel takes on all the events that are taking place over the course of the year, and you be reasonably consistent about it, you like people will come find you because we all need to see each other out here supporting the sanity of electing Joe Biden and fighting against the insanity of the Republican Party. Anyway, yeah, side tangent over. Carol, are you done with your closing?
Oh, yeah, yes. I made us all sorts of cogent points. You are all like, wow, Carol is so insightful.
Yeah, way to just turn your closing thoughts over to the both of us. As for my closing thoughts, it's Super Bowl weekend. And I know sports ball minute of the week.
Sports ball, I knew it was coming.
And sports ball minute of the week. Reed's closing thoughts here. Super Bowl weekend. And like, long story short, I think pretty early on last year before football season, I think I predicted the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers meeting in the Super Bowl because I wasn't really feeling.
My money's on Taylor Swift. She's going to win it all.
All right, I'm getting to that. But I didn't really necessarily see Philadelphia repeating this year. Just not some slight of Philadelphia. It's just, you know, those things. It's hard to get back to the Super Bowl, especially when you lose. Typically, the loser doesn't make it back the next year anyway. So, in saying that Kansas City and San Francisco would meet in the Super Bowl before the season starts and then to have that thing happen, I guess according to the right, you would say it's a conspiracy theory because, you know, us leftists are out here rigging the fucking Super Bowl. We like, you know, set Taylor Swift up to date Travis Kelce, one of the, I guess, star offense players for the Chiefs. Cause we wanted to, I don't know. I don't even know what the conspiracy theory is really. Cause if you think about it, it's kind of fucking insane. We almost had one of the blackest Super Bowls in the history of football, Detroit and Baltimore. And you think the leftists came out here and decided to rig the Super Bowl so we could get the widest possible Super Bowl, San Francisco. And some team with a fucking racially insensitive name. Okay. That makes total sense. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection. All right, Ty, you rallied. You were like the Atlanta Falcons, New England Patriots Super Bowl. You were like down 28-3, but you came back in the end. You pulled that shit off. You were like the black Tom Brady of podcasts. And that concludes this episode.
I will allow it.
And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection. Well, the black Tom Brady of podcasts minus the Trump hat and the weird ass politics. Although you're like a reformed Republican. And that concludes this episode of Part of the Insurrection.